Cool. It would take so many weeks to get through three chapters of one. First John chapter 3, we're going to start reading in verse 4. If you would stand. First John chapter 3, verse 4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Father, we have no desire to continue in our sin. We have a desire, Lord, to live in the light as you are the light. We have a desire, Lord, for fellowship with you and fellowship with each other. Help us to see where we are wrong and to change, that our fellowship may be pure as you are pure. In Jesus' name, amen. First John 3, 4 says, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. Now, you know me, and that one little sentence shouldn't surprise you. That sentence bothered me. That verse is insulting. It's demoralizing, and it's at the very least troubling. For our guests, hang in there. I say things, and the surprise comes later. You begin to understand my ways. You see, I can handle that sin thing. It's okay with me. If you say, well, sin to me, I don't have an issue with it. I mean, we all have a little bit of sin in our lives, don't we? I mean, a little bit of sin is okay. I mean, I have my weaknesses, you have your weaknesses. I mean, what's a little gossip? What's a little weakness? What's a little inappropriate flirting? Maybe a little back talking. I mean, come on. We all do that. You know what I mean. In fact, our unsaved friends and our loved ones, they might say, you're nothing but a sinner. You're just like the rest of us. We're all sinners. Don't they say that? We go, well, yeah, I'm a sinner. I'm saved by grace, but yes, I understand that I'm a sinner. That's okay, I can take that. I mean, being a little bit of a sinner is okay, it's not so bad. I mean, as long as it's a little bit, right? And let's face it, the truth is, no one's perfect. And if no one's perfect, what's a little sin? 1 John 1:8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Well, John's saying you're all sinners, including me. So what's the big deal? I mean, you grow up in the church, you understand that sin thing, my righteousness is as filthy rags. There's just really not much I can do with this thing, so I'm a sinner. That didn't bother me. The word that bothered me in that verse was lawless. Me? Lawless? Sinner, yes. Lawless? No. Now maybe that word doesn't bother you, but it bothered me. You see, I know I'm not lawless. When I drive on the parkway, I almost always, I try to make sure that there's at least one or two cars going faster than I am. At least one or two. I mean, I am not going to be the lawless one out there. I may be doing 75, but surely there's people doing faster than I am. And after all, I need to make sure that there's a couple of cop baits out there in front of me anyway. So I am not lawless when I'm driving the parkway. No, not at all. And gossip? You will not find me gossiping. I'm not lawless. I will not gossip. Now, if you ask me a question, I might give you the answer right up until the point where it becomes gossip and then say, if I were to say more, it would be gossip. You know what I mean, right? I mean, it would be the same as if you asked me what these marks on my face were, and I said, well, it was a work-related accident, and the only one I worked with this week was Raymond. But far be it from me to say that Ray is responsible for the marks on my face. I wouldn't do that. You know me. I don't do that. Right, Ray? I mean, lawless? When I go into the Wawa and there's this cup that says, need a penny, take a penny, I have never, ever, ever taken more than twice what I need. Ever. If I need a nickel, I've never taken more than a dime. You calling me lawless? I know people that take more than twice what they need. You wouldn't catch me doing that. Lawlessness is a state of disorder due to a disregard for the law. A state of disorder. You, John, are calling me saying that I'm responsible for disorder? No, no, no. A little sin, a little gossip, a little bit. But disorder? And disorder is a state of confusion. I, John, am responsible for confusion? Not me, John. You better watch yourself. Call me a sinner, but not responsible for disorder. And so John says that sin is lawlessness. Therefore, sin is a state of confusion due to a disregard for the law. You see, my little sin might have a minor consequence or it has no consequences at all. But disorder and a state of confusion, there's a problem with that. Don't call me responsible for that. You see, a family breakup because of an affair brings order and confusion to the family. And that occurs because of a lack of following God's principles. Or a car accident caused by a drunken driver brings disorder and confusion to the lives of those involved because of a lack of following godly principles. Oh, please call it a sin, but don't tell me I've disordered somebody's life because I disregarded the law. Call me a sinner, yes, but lawless, never. And yet the truth of the matter is that I see sometimes in my own life disorder. And that disorder may well be because I have violated God's principles somewhere along the line. And the world is completely full of disorder. And the disorder is a direct relationship to sin and lawlessness. As I get older, I tolerate disorder, personal disorder in myself, less and less. And sin is a state of disorder due to a disregard for the law. Of course, when you say those kinds of things, the argument comes up, well, law versus grace. And so we're going to go to Galatians 3:1-5. bear with me. I forgot to bring my glasses up here, so. Galatians 3, 1 through 5. I don't know how it could sit any better than this. Paul 7:3:1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. And I would like to know just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after being with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing if it was really nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observed the law or because you believe what you heard? Paul is not asking a question that he doesn't have an answer to. He is saying through a question, the reason God moves through you and in you and does miracles in you is because you believe, not because you follow the law. And so I am not in this conversation of being called lawless trying to say we have to follow the law, the Ten Commandment law. There's something else that John has been saying to us in First John. And he says things like 1 John 1:5. This is the message we heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us. What is the key to being purified by his blood is the fellowship of walking with him in the light, him and us with each other. That is the law of love. It's the law of love. And in 1 John 3:11, he says, for this message you heard from the beginning, we should love one another. John repeats this theme throughout. First John just keeps going back over the same thing, different ways, trying to say the same thing. Love and fellowship is the law he's talking about. That's what we heard from the beginning. Why? Because he got it from Jesus in Matthew 22:36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You understand what that hanging on means? It means that the Ten Commandments have no power without love. They hang on them. Everything the prophets taught and everything the prophets were looking for is in that love thing. God's love and fellowship with us and us with him. That's what it's about. 1 John 2:8. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother or sister is still in darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. It's love, folks. It's love. John didn't say, this is the commandment we heard from the beginning, commandment number 5, commandment number 10. He summed up, as Jesus summed it up, and said, love. And if you're not walking in love, and I'm not walking in love, and we don't love him, and we're not in fellowship with him, we cannot have fellowship with each other. It's not true. You cannot come to church and hate your brother and say that I'm in fellowship with my Father. It doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. If I don't love you and I can't then I cannot have fellowship with you. And if I don't have fellowship with you, I cannot have fellowship with my Father nor his Son. And so if you want the law, the only law, the best law for us as Christians today, it's the law of love. Why? Because Jesus fulfilled in himself the rest of the law and said to us, now love. Now love. And the thing about it is that opposed to the law of love is lawlessness. Now, it may be that I have a hard time understanding love, and I have a hard time loving you, and you have a hard time loving me. But don't call me lawless. I just don't like you that much. Is that lawless? And yet sin is lawlessness. And I don't want to be associated with lawlessness. Sin and lawlessness, though, I can't be comfortable with either. But I would suggest to you that our culture is such that sin is acceptable over lawlessness. Now, I know we have shows called Sons of Anarchy, and we've always had our westerns and that Jesse James kind of image, and you know, Bonnie and Clyde and all of that kind of thing that we associate with that American independence streak and all of that happiness. But I would say to you, though, is that no one really appreciates total lawlessness. I mean, pirates have their codes and honor among thieves and all this kind of thing, and if I'm the most lawless person in the world, I expect you to follow my law. So I'm not really lawless. I expect that there is some law. But lawlessness comes with a price. 2 Thessalonians. This is talking about the lawless one, the Antichrist, the one who is yet to come. The one whose spirit is already at work in the earth. Paul says, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. Oh my goodness. You know, the Antichrist, he's like the next second best thing. I mean, he makes Hitler look like a child. And yet, Jesus will simply go and overthrow him. As a matter of fact, just the splendor of Jesus coming will destroy him. I mean, we get into the battle of Armageddon and all the battles and all of that. You know what destroys him? It's the splendor of our Lord's coming. The lawless one, I don't want to be associated with that kind of lawlessness. None of us should. And certainly, I don't want to have to pay that kind of a price. The Antichrist will not have a happy ending. 2 Peter 3:17. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the law of the lawless and fall from your secure position. Isn't it interesting that Peter doesn't say, be careful that you don't sin? He says, be careful of the error of lawlessness. Now, understand, John says sin is lawlessness and lawlessness is sin, you know, but somehow, if I'm right, culturally sin is okay, Lawlessness, not as much. And that says that we can fall from our secure position. What is our secure position? Children of Christ. Children of God. Or brothers of Christ, children of God. That's who we are. But that position can be fallen from. And Peter chooses to say, through lawlessness. Second Thessalonians 2:9. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. Now what have we done? We've connected lawlessness directly to Satan. The ultimate lawless one is the Antichrist. And he works by the power of Satan. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. Lawlessness, sin, lie. And let's not be confused. The Antichrist, through the power of Satan, will work miracles and signs and wonders. That's why we need to know the truth. We need to know the genuine article. Satan, the lie, brought in lawlessness. He lied to Adam and Eve. And when he lied to them, he didn't say, God didn't say this. He asked the question. And then said, surely you will be like God. Well, that didn't work out quite right. He didn't question the law. He questioned the result. There are principles in God's word that cannot be violated without consequence, without disorder, without confusion, without turmoil. And we may not like the principle. We may want to rebel against the principle. And when we do, we bring in disorder. Satan brought in disorder. Who was deceived first? Who was the first? Eve? How about Satan? He was the first one deceived. His was a self-deception. And he's been trying to deceive us ever since. You see, Satan stood in the presence of God, and he knew God. You talk about the unpardonable sin Wednesday. Now, was there anybody who experienced the benefits of God more than Satan did and turned his back on him? Was that what Jesus was talking about? And why doesn't any of these verses say that the Antichrist comes as a sinner? It's a little bit different when you say lawless, even though lawlessness is sin. Sin is associated with disorder. The very disorder that destroys our lives, our structure, social structure today. Yes, it's sin. It's lawlessness. For me, my sin may be private. It may affect my family. Maybe it affects the church. But very rarely does any of our sin affect our community or our state or the nation. But lawlessness does. Lawlessness brings disorder, and disorder can permeate the world. St. John tells us, lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Neither is good. But if sin has become culturally benign, listen to my words, if sin is culturally benign, it is not spiritually benign, then what about lawlessness? Like I said before, those who walk in darkness consider themselves to be a law unto themselves, and you must follow that. And so in a sense, they are lawless, but not totally lawless. Since we're already in a have lawlessness in the world, does it get worse than this? Does the lawlessness we see today get worse? And the answer is found in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2:7. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until it is taken away. Now, some argue that power that holds back is the Holy Spirit, and others argue the power that holds back is the archangel, and others argue that the power that holds back is the church. Regardless, someday there will be a removing of the one who holds back lawlessness, and this playground exercise that we're in now is going to erupt in full and total lawlessness. Now, I don't have the answer for this, but it struck me this morning. What is the secret power? Apparently, there's a secret power to lawlessness. I don't know what that is. But as bad as it is right now, it is going to get worse. And so sin is lawlessness, which is a state of disorder due to a disregard for the law. And disorder is a state of confusion. So sin is a state of confusion due to a disregard for the law. And the law is hinged upon the command, love your God and love your brother. So what will the future of lawlessness or disorder look like? 2 Timothy 3:1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Wait a minute, let's think about this. Jesus said, love your God and love each other. That's the law. That's what we're obligated to do. That's what we work on. And when lawlessness comes in, we have this, those terrible times. And people now exchange that love for themselves. We see that in many respects today, but it will get worse. And that love that we're supposed to have for each other becomes a love for money. That's how I can rip you off in business. Okay, I love the money more than you. Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love. All of a sudden, I assume that's love for you because I still love my money. And I love myself, so it must be for you. Unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good. Well, that's certainly the opposite, right? Treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Well, there it is, a direct violation to Jesus' commandment. I don't love God. Having the form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. You see, that's lawlessness, which is sin. But if we say, well, you know, my neighbors are sinners, well, we love the sin, hate the sin. But lawlessness have nothing to do with such people. That's why I don't want to be called lawless. You can pity me for my sin, but lawless? Something the same but different about that. And the question then is, if my sin can be forgiven, can my lawlessness be forgiven? Now, just using logic, John said, sin is lawlessness. And if sin is lawlessness, then sin is forgiven. Therefore, lawlessness, we should find, can be forgiven. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. This is the covenant I will make with them. This is God speaking in the Old Testament. This is now being re-spoken of in Hebrews in the New Testament. I will make with them after that time, says the Lord, I will put my law in their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he added, their sins and lawlessness I will remember no more. As if in the Old Testament, God knew what John was going to write and say, I'm going to eliminate the question and I'm going to say their sin and lawlessness will be forgiven because John's going to write about lawlessness. Both are forgivable. That's the good news, folks. You knew your sins were forgiven. Did you know that your lawlessness would be forgiven too in Christ by his blood? I didn't know I was lawless. We're lawless when we're in sin and when we don't love and when we're out of fellowship. We are lawless. And we are saved by grace. And if I'm right, and I've been right once this month, I know it. And sin is kind of culturally irrelevant in our society. Then maybe when we speak to our friends and neighbors about sin, they're already prepared to reject that. You see, sin is your religious idea. There is no sin in the culture. Sin is just your law, your violations, has nothing to do with me because I don't believe in God anyway. But that same person understands lawlessness. Maybe the answer to our culture is to speak to them about lawlessness. Lawlessness cannot be denied that lawlessness brings disorder into a culture. Even dictators like Kim Jong weirdo over there, okay? He understands. He's a law unto himself. They are not lawless in North Korea. When we violate the principles of law, we have disorder. Now I've got a conversation going. And when we violate the principles of God, we have disorder. And maybe we hang on terms like sin. Don't get me wrong. You and I agree with them. Sin. But God gave us another word that might today be culturally relevant because the person of lawlessness is on his way. The person of lawlessness may be in the world today. I mean the guy. The person of lawlessness is not very far away. And people see it. People recognize not the way we do, but they see the decay in our society, the disorder. But my friend, we violate the principles of God to our own peril. And he's coming back, and just his coming back and the splendor of it is going to destroy this lawlessness. We need to find the God of law and order, and in him we find our hope.